2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was yea, not nay. In other words, yes, not no. But in him was yes. For all the promises of God are in him, are yes, are yea. And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Tayo if he'd sneak out and come and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word today. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach to you for a little while about possessing God's promises. Possessing God's promises. Brother Tayo, why don't you pray?
Morning, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you because we're here today to hear your word. We thank you because everyone's doing well. For those who are not here, Father, guide them and touch their hearts where they are. As we continue with this service, Father, touch our pastor, inspire him, direct him, give him the words to pass his message, to pass your message on to us. And also touch our hearts as well. Open our minds that we accept and we leave the words that we hear today, that we understand and are able to practice your words. Father, give us the strength as we go through the last week of our fasting. And Father, bless the rest of the service. All this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to make a request. I kind of feel like that we had just such a wonderful time of worship. I just felt good. Did you feel good? Amen. And during that time, I felt like the Lord kind of talked to me and asked that if we would kind of chain fast. In other words, one day a week for the rest of the year. Amen. That we can make up a list. Everybody take a day. We'll do it from perhaps noon to noon. And that way, if somebody's caught fasting on Sunday, they can have breakfast or have lunch if they're getting off from Saturday to Sunday. I think we have enough people in our church where we could do, let's see, we could have five people a day on the average fasting and asking for God to move in this place. Amen. Church is not about social issues. It's not about, we love the social aspect of the church. But you can go to the VFW or you can go to the corner bar as far as that's concerned. You can get social. You can join the Rotary Club, you can join the PTA, and you can get social. That's there. We need to be a church where people can find deliverance, people can find change, people can find the truth that's found in the Word of God. And as the Scripture says in the King James Version, it says, these things come only by fasting and prayer. I think it would be good if we would do that. If you would like to do that with me, why don't you clap your hand? I think we can do it. That's just one day a week. That's all. Or one day every other week. That's not too much to ask. Amen. And I would like to see a chain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday where we could be fasting and talking to the Lord, asking him to move in this place. Amen. This is no game around here. This is really a place where we need God. The possessing God's promises. You know, the Lord is the great promise maker. And all of the promises which are in written form in his word are the authentic revelation of the divine mind and purpose of God. The written form of these promises literally become a promissory note, a written promise to fulfill a declared benefit. One scholar says that the scripture contains more than 30,000 promises related to the believer. But knowing the Bible holds thousands and thousands of thousands of promises is not enough. How do we, as believers, take possession of those promises? Part of the answer lies in understanding the nature of the one who made the promise maker. In a court of law, if you fail to fulfill a solemn pledge, such as a promissory note, you're going to be guilty of what is called breach of contract. In other words, let's say that you borrow from a bank $10,000 and you go to court. The bank takes you to court because you do not repay that loan. Then you are guilty of breach of contract. You did not do what you said that you would do. You may say, well, I've got laid off, or I got this, or I got that. The court doesn't want to know that, really. Maybe some of the more liberal judges do. They just looking at you, promised to repay, you didn't, and that you're guilty of breach of contract. Now, we need to understand that because of who God is, He can never be guilty of breach of contract. Why? Because according to the scriptures, God cannot violate His promises. If He says something, then He must, by His very nature, which does not change, fulfill the promises that He wrote. Now, some people mistake the timing of God, and they say, I haven't received it when I thought I should receive it, as God failing to fulfill what He said He would do. But God's time is not our time. I wish that God's time was my time. I really do. Things would be different. A lot of things would be different. But we move on God's clock. Amen? And while the wheels of God's clock move slowly sometimes, they are guaranteed to move. Let me give you an example. The scripture declared, we've read this a few times in recent weeks, that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when we use His weapons, such as fasting and prayer, guess what? Strongholds have got to yield to them, because that's a promise of God. So if you're dealing with a situation where there is a stronghold in your home, or you've got problems, you need to talk to that stronghold and tell it in Jesus' name. You gotta. There's no question. There's no doubt. You have to bow before the Lord. And according to the scripture, it tells us that He will tear down strongholds. Amen. Throughout the entire Bible, and we're going to look at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Throughout the entire Bible, God reveals Himself as the great promise maker, and He keeps His word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. He has said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and He will not make it good? When God speaks and God makes a promise, you can count on one thing. Sooner or later, God is going to fulfill that promise. Like I said, sometimes the timing of God is involved, but ultimately, God's promise is going to be fulfilled because He cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 tells us that we're told one immutable fact, and the fact is that God cannot lie. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, we find it written, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I set it." Just as he said, winter is going to come. You know why you can bear winter? Because how many of you would like to live in Siberia? Even Siberia has some kind of spring, I think. But we can bear with winter because we know that the next thing that's happening after winter, after 90 short days, is that springtime is coming. And it's been that way ever since I was a child, ever since my father was a child, ever since my grandfather was a child, ever since my great-grandfather was a child, ever since the Declaration of Independence was signed. It's been the same. There's going to be winter, spring, summer, and fall. It's not going to change. And like we can count on the seasons of the year coming to pass year after year after year, we can count on the promises of God being fulfilled. As God of the universe, He has all the natural laws under control. And nothing can stand in the way of the fulfillment of any promise that He has made. He is omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful, and He never breaks a promise. He just not allow Himself to break a promise. If God spoke something, it's going to happen because God cannot lie. We have all heard stories of despair and difficulty that have been overcome through faith. We see what God's grace can do. It's a remarkable witness what can happen to anyone who is willing to be in a right relationship with God. We find a reason here in Isaiah 59, the first two verses, of why some never obtain promises. Isaiah 59, the first two verses tells us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not heal." Should you fail to obtain a promise from God, don't blame God. Come on. Instead, do what we did during communion. Open your heart to the Lord and ask Him to reveal. Ask Him to reveal the reason. And some people don't even know. They don't need to do that, because God has already been dealing with them. God's already been talking with them. And they know that if they will obey God, some things are going to come to pass. So it's not a matter of even asking God to talk to you. You know already. And if you will just quit fighting the leading of the Spirit of God and do what the Lord told you to do, you would find some things that would come to pass. Come on, amen. We live in a society of blame, do we not? "Well, I ate too many Twinkies. And because I ate too many Twinkies, I killed my parents." That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But there's actually a court case. You remember that? There was a court case somewhere. It might have been on the left coast in the land of fruits and nuts. I'm not sure. That's California, for those that don't understand that term. But there was a court case where two children killed their parents, and the lawyer blamed it on too many Twinkies. And they got off. I don't know what the end result was, but I know they didn't go to jail. They were acquitted of the charges just because they ate too many Twinkies. See, that's a society of blame. We could go into many court cases like that. And I want you to reject the societal blame game and just very simply be honest with God. Amen. Quit blaming somebody else for what didn't go right. Quit blaming somebody else for things you know that you could take care of. Amen. Our society is full of that. They like to blame everybody in the world. But the fact of the matter is, we need to start with us. Now, if you've done everything you should, that's a different story. But many times people don't do that. As a matter of fact, most of the times people don't do that. They like to blame other people. They like to blame circumstance. There's nothing that you can't overcome. The Bible talks about in the book of Samuel, the prophet Samuel. Samuel grew up. He was born a child, and his mother, or when he was born, his mother gave him to serve in the temple. And the priest of the temple had two sons. The Bible says they were sons of the devil. And Samuel grew up in the midst of a hypocritical priest, two sons of the devil, all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the temple, yet he became the greatest prophet. Why is that? The reason for that is he made a choice. I can't tell you exactly what choice that was or how he came to that choice. Well, I know the choice. The choice was God is true and man is a liar. Yet in the midst of his bad circumstances, he became a great, 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 great figure in the Word of God. And you can too. Amen? Circumstances cannot bind you. They can only bind you if you let them bind you. We can possess every promise that God has spoken if we will learn to be in obedience and reach out and claim what the Lord has promised. There's too many people, they want to have the promises of God and live for the devil. Amen. I call it having one foot in the world and the other one on a banana peel. Or one in the church and the other one on a banana peel. The Word of God says you can't serve two masters. Amen. He was talking about money there, but that's also in living for God. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve the devil at the same time. You got to serve one or you got to serve the other. And if you've got two masters, don't you dare blame God for what didn't come to pass. Amen. Come on, amen. There's a great scripture in Daniel 11:32. The second part of it says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Are you ready to do some exploits? Are you ready to go down in God's hall of fame? Then you know what you got to do? Know your God. It's a very simple thing. Actually, it's very simply said and harder to do, but it's very simply said. It's a little bit harder to discipline yourself. And the life of Christ involves a little bit of discipline. It involves a little bit of denial. We're doing that 21-day fast, and I know there's a number of us that, or maybe all of us, that have participated in one way or another, and it involves a denial of the flesh. And there's one thing that happens when you deny the flesh. The spiritual man begins to grow. The spiritual man begins to become more sensitive to God. He will flourish, the spiritual person inside of you will flourish, and the flesh will come weaker as you discipline yourself to live for God, as you discipline yourself to have a prayer life, as you discipline yourself to say no to some things that you formerly said yes to. The spiritual person will prosper, and unfortunately, the natural man or the flesh will never die. It always has to be kept under subjection by the Spirit. But the stronger the spirit inside of you is, the easier it is to keep the flesh under subjection. What happens is when we allow the spiritual man or the spiritual woman to become weak, then the flesh rises. And then you have a battle on your hands, getting yourself under subjection. Why do you think so many people backslide? The scripture tells us in Proverbs 14:14, a backslider is full of his own ways. Well, a spiritual man isn't full of their own ways, because the Bible tells us that the spiritual man is going to prefer their brother. The spiritual man is going to pray. The spiritual man is going to fast. That doesn't sound like being full of your own ways. That's the flesh. The flesh gets its own desires and its own hungers. And if you do not quench that, if you do not put that down, then you will be a backslider at some point, unless you overcome. Amen? Have you, well, sometimes we're like the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, and I'll sum it up. The prophet said, at this season, next year, you shall embrace a son. And her response was disbelief. No, my Lord. O man of God, do not lie with your maidservant. Of course, she was thinking that the prophet was putting moves on her, and that's not what was happening there. He was telling her there was a promise that was coming. Have you ever responded to a promise that way, or not like she did, but just being like God talks to you and God gives you, you're in prayer or you're fasting, God gives you a promise, he gives you what we call that rhema word of God, and you're like, I cannot hardly believe that. Some people can't believe the written thing. Amen. And then when the Lord talks to them, they can hardly believe that. Think about Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah laughed when she was told she had a son of promise at 90 years old. She was like, what, are you kidding me? That's not going to happen. Well, the Bible says that we can prosper. Does it not? Tells us the faithful man is going to abound in blessings. Amen. He puts the key on faithfulness right there. A lot of people want to prosper, then be faithful. It never works out that way. You've got to be faithful first, and as you're faithful first, God will prosper you. That's the way of the Scripture. The Bible says we can have peace of mind. I love that. Peace that passes all understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says we can build a life that will withstand storms. When I built my addition on my house, when they came into the upstairs, our bedroom is kind of big. It's probably, it might be almost the size, kind of an L shape, though, of that row of pews. I mean, the whole thing. But it goes down and it goes over in like an L shape there. And we have cathedral ceilings there that I built. And the building inspector came in and he says, no way you're going to do that. The roof is going to blow off. And I said, wait a second, let me show you something. I put double hurricane ties on that thing. So should we get hurricane force winds, that the roof was not going to blow off. I built a house that would withstand storms. And over the last 10 years, we've had a couple of doozy storms, haven't we? We've had people lose shingles just in Hackensack. I think it was last year. I live in Hackensack. They had all kinds of houses with shingles off, all kinds of damage from that huge, I forget what hurricane it was, all kinds of problems that happened because of that. We did not have a problem, but I was sitting there saying, man, I'm so thankful that I built my house to withstand a storm. You can build your house to withstand a storm. I don't know what I'd do in Florida. I'd make like a fortress or something so when them hurricanes come, I wouldn't have to worry about it. But you can do that. You can build your life that's going to withstand storms. Don't respond with doubt. Say, I can receive the things I need in life, not only for me, but for those around me. Don't you know one of the promises is that your children are going to be blessed? If you'll live for God, your children and your grandchildren are going to be blessed. Amen. My boys think they're blessed because of their intelligence or whatever else. That's not what happened. The reason that they're blessed, my son Joshua's got a great job. Kid's very, very smart. But he didn't get that on his own accord. He got that because of me. I didn't go down and interview for him. I did give him a hard time. He was mullygrubbing about something. I kind of got a little bit hard on him one day, and I said, you need to get out and take that job. He got offered a job at Best Buy. I said, you need to get out now, and you need to get out and get that job. So he got all upset with me. He goes and he gets that job. I don't know whether it was 2 weeks or 2 months later, the owner of a computer business comes in and likes him, gives him an interview for a job, and he's one of their top programmers today up in Teaneck. He didn't get that on his own accord. He got that because of the blessings of Abraham that I received when I became faithful to the Lord. My children are blessed. My grandchildren, Zachary's going to be blessed. Amen. Zachary's going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jared, you're going to be blessed because of my daughter. You might not think so, but you just watch down the road. Amen. Because she is a recipient of my blessing. But make no mistake, you know, if you ask God to prosper you, Make sure that you're honoring God in tithes and offerings. Now, I know some people don't believe in tithes. They say, well, I don't believe in tithes, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. If you had a church full of folks that didn't believe in supporting the work of God, there would be no missionaries. There would be no church buildings. There would be no Sunday school materials. Everybody talks a good talk, boy. They talk a good talk. Well, I'll give as God prospers. But no, you won't. Amen. Amen. The church is built on people that are faithful. The reason I can be working in the church is because we have people here that are faithful. And your faithfulness, I thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. And your faithfulness is essential for the work of God in this location. You cannot build a church with unfaithful people. Amen. So all those that don't believe in tithing, well, don't believe in tithing. That's your problem. I'll receive the blessing. That's all. Amen. In Malachi chapter 3, we're told that those that do not do this are thieves and robbers. And there's one thing that God will not do. He will not prosper a thief or a robber. Now, sure, they might get some money. But the spiritual man or the spiritual woman is going to wither at some point. It's going to wither and it's going to die because you cannot go against the concepts and the precepts of God and not receive judgment in this life. Now, some will receive it later. I know the scripture says that, but majority of people are going to receive it now. And it may not happen right away because the scripture says the long-suffering of God is our salvation. All the time God will be talking. I've seen many people over the years, not here though, but I've talked to many people over the years. They have hardened themselves. And the hardest thing about people is their pocketbook. They don't want to give that up, boy. But you know when someone gives of their income that God's got the heart. That's just a fact of the matter. Romans 4, and talk about overcoming unbelief a little bit. Romans chapter 4 lists four factors to tell us how to possess the promises of God. First, in verse 20, we see that Abraham did not waver or stagger in unbelief. Instead, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. The word stagger here means to make use of one's own judgment and reasoning and discerning things. Now, in Genesis 15, we find that Abraham came to God and said, and the Lord came to him and said, I'm your strong shield, fear not. Abraham looks at him and says, What is this? You haven't fulfilled your promise. Eliezer is going to be the seed of my house. Really, what happened there is Abraham was discouraged. He didn't waver because you read the next couple of verses is the Lord took him and talked to him and recommitted his promise. And instead of Abraham saying, well, you haven't done it so far, it's not going to happen now, Abraham believed God, and the scripture says it was counted to him for righteousness. So he didn't go by his own judgment and reasoning and discerning those things. As you receive the promises of God, you're going to have to deal with unbelief. You're going to have to deal with, there's going to be some things that are going to look at you. They're going to try to discourage you. I promise the devil will throw some stuff at you, right in your, especially when you're seeking the Lord. Has anybody during this fast had something very discouraging happen to them? I have. Several hands are up here. I have. Don't you know that's the voice of the enemy? God's not going to do it. Ain't going to happen. This is all just a bunch of hokey. This is all just a magic. It's all a fantasy. No. The promises of God are not fantasy. Amen. The promises of God are real. We've got too many people in this church that have had personal healings to say any differently. I've seen too many prayer requests answered for me to say that, you just got to look at the devil and say, just like Jesus said, get thee beside me, Satan. Get thee beside me, Satan. That's all you got to do. I mean, you got to deal with discouragement. Don't get me wrong. Because you're going to have discouragement. You're going to have the temptation to waver and stagger. And sometimes the promises might seem absolutely impossible. There's some things that I face right now look like it's just not going to happen. It's not possible. And how can it ever happen, you might ask? The only answer is that God said it would happen. And when you see no natural way it can come about, You just got to stand on the promises and refuse to stagger in unbelief. Come on, amen. You just simply got to believe God. Say, God, you said it. I believe it. I don't care what happens. I don't care the way things look. I'm going to be one of those Bible people that in the written in the book of faith that says, I believe God and receive the promises of God. Amen. When you doubt, you focus on your own power to accomplish the impossible. And let's face it, folks, I can't do the impossible. But I know somebody that can. I know somebody where it's written that with men, things are impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I may not be able to do it. You may not be able to do it. But there is a God in heaven that can change circumstance. There is a God in heaven that can bring things to pass. And we can stand still and know, like Moses, stand still and know that he's God. Amen. Unbelief is strengthened when you focus on the natural power to accomplish the physical, the temporal. No, hey, you think that's not true? What about Peter? He said, who's that? Is that a ghost out there? No, Jesus said, it's me. Come on out. And what happens? Peter gets out. He says, man, this is pretty good. I'm here walking on the water. Then the Bible says he got around looking at the winds and the waves, and all of a sudden he's going down. He's going down. Why? He stopped looking at the miracle, and he looked at his own power. Well, everybody knows you can't walk on water. You put me on water, I'm going to go splash. Same thing with Peter. Peter can't walk on water, and all of a sudden he's out in the midst of the sea. There's no 911. There's no Coast Guard. There's no helicopters. There's no life rafts. He's out in this storm, and the lightning's blowing, and the wind, lightning's flashing. The wind's blowing. He's out there going towards Jesus, and he looks over, and he begins to sink because he got his eyes off of the supernatural, and he got his eyes on the temporal and began to think, you know what? This is not possible. And he began to sink. Thank God what the Lord did. The Bible tells, he said he reached down and he pulled him out. Amen. The Lord is merciful to us, isn't he? Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 again. Second. Says that Abraham grew strong in faith. I was thinking about this the other day. When David met the Philistine, Goliath, you know what he told him? He told him, you better run. What did David tell him? He said, the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear, and he is going to deliver you into my hand. Don't you know that you grow strong in faith? You may say, well, I got these things I'm going through. Well, just chin up and go through it, because God is building your faith. God is making you an overcomer. Because there's going to come a day when you got a Goliath in your life, and you'll be able to look at that Goliath and say, hey, no big deal. I don't care how big you are, how ugly you are, what you smell like. Because God delivered me before. He took care of this before. He's going to take care of you, devil. You're going to fall. He's going to take care of you, stronghold. You're going to come down in Jesus' name. Because I've seen God do it before. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on, think about it. Growing strong in faith. The more difficult the fulfillment, the more wonderful Abraham's faith was. What a beautiful testimony to someone who was able to endure trials and grow in faith instead of allowing unbelief to grow. Abraham gave glory to God in Romans 4:20, the third point. With the same kind of unquestioning confidence in God's promises. Now, we may suffer doubt. But do you know the Lord will come to you and reaffirm some things. He'll come to you. Now, he don't do it every day. I mean, you can't get discouraged. You can't receive a promise from the Lord. You know, on Sunday and Friday, you're discouraged. And the Lord come back to you next Sunday and say, no, I promised that to you. Abraham, it took a while for God to get back to him. So you got to just hang in there. We got to persevere. Scripture says we got to endure to the end. There's some enduring you got to do. There's some walking with God you've got to do. Things will come to pass. You just hang in there. Amen. That's the hard part with people. They get tired, and that's why you have to replenish the spiritual man. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to talk to the Lord. Be in the house of the Lord. There's nothing better than being in the house. I've said this 100,000 times maybe. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe it's only 10,000. But you can walk in the house of the Lord discouraged. You can walk in the house of the Lord on your last leg. Feel like I can't do it no more. Then sing the songs of Zion. The praise of the Lord. Begin the glory of the Lord begins to come down. The preaching of the word comes forth. You walk out those doors and you feel like you're on top of the world, ready to face Goliath. Can I have a witness? If you sit there and sit out and say, you know, it's just too hard. I feel like I'm a hypocrite. Don't you feel like you're a hypocrite? This is the place where you get strength. This is the place where you get something from the Lord. If you sit out, you're not going to get it. Come on. Amen. That's a fact. That's a fact. Number four, Abraham was fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. There's an old song that we sing, Sister Honey. The power of God is just the same today. And it doesn't matter what the people say. Whatever God has promised, he's able to perform. The power of God, and Sister Honey is my wife, the power of God is just the same today. At the time Abraham received his promise, there were no promissory notes, no Bible. God simply spoke the promise to him. Through the years, he had several experiences with God where God reaffirmed those promises to Abraham. That's how he knew it was God. And you may say, well, I don't know if God talked to me, and I don't know if this is the right thing. You know what you can do? Get down and start seeking the Lord again. Because if that promise is from God, he's going to reaffirm that to you. Now, I'm talking about things that are not written in the Word of God. Because there are those times in prayer we get what we call the Rhema Word of God, which is like Jesus said to Peter. He said, we fished all night. Peter said, we fished all night, caught no fish. Jesus said, go out, cast your net on the other side. And Peter said, why? Is no problem. Nevertheless, at thy word we will do it. So he received that living word. The Rhema is the living word of God. Sometimes that living word of God will come to you and speak to you. He will reaffirm that because it's not written. Amen. He will do that. You might have to seek the Lord a little bit. It might take a little bit of time, but God will let you know. And a lot of people fail because they listen into the wrong spirit and they never get God to reconfirm those things. Amen. Abraham had full assurance regarding the promises of God. The Lord visited him several times. And the Greek word we translate full assurance was actually provides a word picture of a ship carried forward under full sails. Its canvas is fully stretched out to catch the wind. Abraham just simply was like that eagle I preached about last Sunday. The Way of the Eagle. There are some extra CDs if you didn't get any last week. And for those that are here today, we will have CDs of this service available as a gift to you. And Brother Stephen will have them after service. But like I preached about that eagle, he just sticks the wings out. And he flies with the currents. That's what Abraham did. He just put his sails out and he sailed like a ship. He was in full assurance that God was able to do some things. He took a total risk to believe that God would do what he said to do. You know what? I got news for you. God didn't let him down. Amen? The Lord did not let him down, and neither will he let us down. The Lord was making Abraham a man of faith by leading him into an impossible situation. How about you? Has faith led you into an impossible situation? You think the Lord can't take care of you? Of course he can. We may have some battles. We may have some struggles. And you can go ahead and come on up here, sweetheart. We may have some difficulties. But in the end, there's a promissory note. And that promissory note says that God is going to perform what he said he would do. Amen. Let me read you two more scriptures. God is faithful. You know, sometimes God won't change those circumstances for a while until he succeeds in something. And that something is changing us. Amen. That something is changing us. Because there's something about the pressure cooker that makes a man or a woman out of you. You say, what do you mean? I was in the military. Talk about pressure. Air Force wasn't too bad. Marines, man, they get it. Army, Marines, they put them under a pressure cooker. And those 19-year-old kids come out men. Why? Because pressure and hardship does something to you. It'll do the same thing to us. He wants to raise us above our trials through faith so we can say, my God can do the impossible. He's a deliverer, and he's going to see me through. God's faithfulness through the storms is reliable. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but it is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with temptation provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. You know what that means? That means something that really bad that happened to you recently. God knows you can take it. That's why he allowed it. You say, does God allow this? The devil throws some things at us, but he's got to have God's permission. I do believe that. You read the book of Job. You can touch him, but don't touch his life. You can afflict him, but don't touch his life. And if God has the confidence in you, don't you think you ought to have the confidence in God? And not only confidence in God, but a little bit of confidence in yourself, that I can weather the storm, that I can make it, that I can see this thing through to victory. Not to surrender, not to armistice, but to total victory. That's what God's able to do. He's faithful. He's faithful. One more scripture. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness will never cease. His compassions will never fail. They are new every morning. Great. Actually, that might be a better song. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know that? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning to morning. Never said I could sing. I've been letting everybody else sing for so long that I've kind of lost it in that. Let's all stand, if you would. We would be remiss if we did not gather around just to pray. Let the Spirit of the Lord encourage us. Do you know that song, Amber? Great is thy faithfulness. Why don't you sing it for us? Hallelujah. Because God is faithful to us. wonder if anybody would want to come and kneel at this place and commit your life to the faithfulness of God. Commit your life knowing that the Lord is faithful to you. You may be going through problems and difficulties. You may wonder where God is right now. Maybe it's time to reaffirm to God that you trust in His faithfulness. Will anybody come? Will you come and just say, Lord, you're faithful to me, Jesus. I commit myself to your faithfulness. Bow a knee before the Lord. He's faithful to us, church. He's faithful to us.